from the rugged desert outside Yuma, Arizona. This is Outpost Outspoken. Outpost Outspoken is the official podcast of U.S. Army Yuma Proving Ground, which conducts natural environment testing of military equipment in Arizona, Alaska, and the tropics. Hello, I'm Mark Schauer. Yuma Proving Ground has the largest single repository of foreign threat systems in the continental United States. Whether fabricating a realistic silhouette or using an actual foreign threat vehicle, the Threat Systems Target Branch supports multiple test and training missions here. For two-thirds of his nearly 15-year tenure here, Tyler Beach has been involved in all facets of the shop's mission. Growing up in Yuma, how familiar were you with the mission of Yuma Proving Ground?
I wasn't familiar at all. Never been out here. No prior military experience. Just, you know, driven by a couple times and seen the big guns and the tank museum, and didn't know anything about it.
And just by happenstance, there was a job opening for a test vehicle operator.
Yeah, I actually put in for that almost 2 years prior before getting the job. I had a track experience, a CDL, a hazmat. They gave me a call almost 2 years after applying, and I said I was still interested.
Now, you've drove some pretty impressive military vehicles in your time as a test vehicle operator.
Driven the JLTV, MATV, the HET that carries the Abram, PLS, Hemet, lots and lots of equipment.
And in your duties with that, you came across Randy Ehrlich and the Threat Systems.
Yeah, so I came into work one day and they asked me if I knew how to weld. And I said, yeah, absolutely. I got a lot of experience in welding. And I went to work with Randy shop at Threat Systems. And almost 2 years into it, he opened a position that I applied for and I got the job.
Now, the kind of things that you have to fabricate in that shop are very unusual, very specialized.
Yeah, it's a lot different than anything I'd ever put together before. Never put together something that was intentionally going to be blown up or supposed to look like a foreign vehicle or an enemy threat. Never done anything similar to that.
And not only do you fabricate them, but you've got the real thing that you operate and maintain too.
Yeah, absolutely. Pretty much most former Soviet Union equipment we manage, operate, maintain. We utilize almost all the old stuff.
Like T-72 tanks?
Yeah, T-72 up to T-80, BMPs 1, 2, 3, BMP 1, 2, and 3. As far down as, you know, a Toyota Hilux with guns in the back.
Or a Scud missile transporter.
Yep, Scuds also. Maintain and operate those. We use those quite a bit.
And they're not necessarily to be blown up, but just for as a laser target, for instance.
Laser, yes. Also for signature, heat, visual, even vibration.
And you not only support testing here at YPG, but even things like the weapons tactics instructor course that the Marines put on a couple times a year. You make targets for that.
We do make targets for that, and we also supply a lot of actual vehicles for that and run convoys for them. We do many scenarios. Even it's a pretty big operation.
You've been here going on 15 years now.
Correct.
You expect you're going to stay for a little while longer?
I do. My future seems pretty bright so far. It's progressed a lot lately, but it's a very rewarding job, not just as far as having a secure job, but it feels good at the end of the day.
You know, you're doing something meaningful for the warfighter.
Right. Exactly like you said, doing something for the warfighter, knowing that the effort that we put in goes to help them.
Hey, Tyler, it's really good talking to you today.
Thank you, sir.
For nearly 20 years, Stephanie Jacobs, chief of YPG's plans division, has ardently supported YPG's test mission. In 2012, she got to witness the results of YPG's work firsthand. You deployed to Afghanistan for 9 months, but you weren't part of the civilian expeditionary workforce.
I actually deployed through a call from the Center for Army Analysis, which is all of the operations research analysts, or ORSAs, who have been who had been continually supporting the effort in Afghanistan at the three-star ISAF Joint Command level and also the four-star headquarters level.
So what was the nature of your duties while you were over there?
So, little bit funny on that. As I was preparing to go, they kept changing what I would be doing there. At one point, it's like, okay, you're going to do analysis. Another time, oh no, you're going to be a strategic writer. So I actually didn't know until I arrived in Kabul at the headquarters what I would do. I ended up being the strategic writer. So I would get inputs from the different regional commands and also across the four-star command where we were located, putting them together in different quarterly reports that would go to Joint Forces Command Brunson, some would come back to U.S. Congress, and others went to SACUR, I think.
How big a culture shock was it just from the natures of your duty, being here at a developmental test center and then going out in a combat zone with the operational army?
It was very different. It was very eye-opening. As before I left, just here at YPG, I was on the test side still, so Lieutenant Colonel was like, you'd maybe see him every once in a while. And it's like, oh, got to be careful. Lieutenant Colonel so-and-so, this, that, and the other. You get there, I had a Lieutenant Colonel sitting next to me, one sitting kitty-cornered me, full bird colonel, like two desks away, and everybody's using first names. And it was very different, but it was also very interesting seeing how some of the equipment, like the EW equipment we test here, was actually used out there. It was protecting my life as we were being transported from one location to another. They had some of the aerostat blimps too, and it's like, oh, hey, I do know what that's here for. I know how it's going to protect us. And it was a big culture shock, but it was a good one.
It must have been satisfying to see firsthand the equipment that we tested here that you helped test being used overseas to keep soldiers safe.
It made what we do here real. 'Cause I think a lot of the time we don't really see the true impact of what we do. It's like, oh, hey, we get something really early. A lot of it doesn't even get fielded eventually. But seeing that, oh, hey, this really does help and protect soldiers further down the road.
When you talked with your colleagues and said you were from Yuma Proving Ground, was it widely known what that is?
No. Most of the American personnel did not know. I think I ran into maybe two who had heard of it. So it was a good chance to kind of be the ambassador. Hey, this is what we do. This is why we are here, and you can see why it's so important, because we had that. We made sure it worked on all these.
I mean, 2012 in Afghanistan, obviously, it was still a very treacherous place to be. Were there any moments when you felt you were really in danger?
I'd been there for about a week and a half, and our base came under attack. I was walking back, either to or from lunch, with an American Air Force major who I'd met in a class before we deployed. As we're going, we see somebody else we work with, and then we hear something like firecrackers going off, and we're like looking around, what the heck? And the other gentleman who was with our group, who had been there before and a few weeks before, he's like, okay, come go this way. And we were on lockdown to like 10:30 that night, and then a few days after, it's like everybody wear the full vest, helmet, everything, no matter where you go. So that one was like the first really big. But then also the rooms where I was staying were pretty close near the front gates. So because the hours we worked would fluctuate, some days I'd be there till 2 a.m. Other nights I'd get off about 8. But it's like we could go back in the morning for a little bit to rest. And there were quite a few IEDs that went off like right outside the front gate, not too far from where my room was. So you get the shake and all this, and the alarms go off, and it's like, okay, just shelter in place till you hear otherwise, and hope nothing comes over the fence again.
Did the experience you had in Afghanistan impact how you go about your job here at YPG when you got back?
I'm not sure it impacted my job per se. It changed my perspective. Like, I still, even before I left, it's like, okay, I want to work hard. I want what I do to be accurate, worthwhile, timely, and helpful. So that stayed the same. It was just like the greater appreciation for what we're doing here, and the impact it has eventually. My personal life did change a little bit just because of like the explosions and that. I still don't like fireworks. I start getting a little twitchy and find earplugs, go hide somewhere else.
If you were given the opportunity, would you do it again?
I would consider it. Yeah, it's very hard being away from your family, your pets, and all that for so long. And I honestly think it might have been a little bit harder on my family who stayed here just because they were so worried about me in that combat situation. So while I was there, I would try to tell them like funny stories of stuff happening to say, hey, yeah, I'm okay. Here's the fun stuff going on. It's not just all bad. Oh my gosh.
If some other civilian you knew wanted to get into the civilian expeditionary workforce, what advice would you give them?
Talk it over with your family. If you're married, if you have children, talk it over with them. And it would really also depend on the location too. So if it's somewhere like Germany and you're not really on the forward lines, that is a very different consideration versus if you are closer to the front lines. So it's like, talk it over with your family. And if you could, find somebody else who has deployed to that area, pick their brain, or someone who's deployed to a similar situation. Find out what their experiences are, good, the bad, and yeah, try to make the best decision with eyes wide open.
Stephanie Jacobs, it's really good talking to you today.
Thanks, you too.
This has been Outpost Outspoken. Thank you again for listening. We'll see you next time from the forefront of Army transformation.